Hey, yo, everybody. It's Mo We Talk Podcasts here with Brett and our friend Comic Canuck, the Duke of Geek. We're going to talk The Hobbit. We also have a preview of The Hobbit. Got a chance to see it. Now it's out. Everybody's seen it. We have differing opinions. So this is a We Talk movie special. Basically, we're sitting here at our lunch break and going to hear a few munchies, and you're going to hear us just kind of break down the film a little bit, what we liked and what we didn't like. Before we actually get to the actual film itself, because the quality of the film is a whole other matter, let's just get into the elephant in the room and get that out of the way, and that's the 48 frames per second. I was not a fan. Brett?
No, I didn't like it at all.
I actually thought in the first 10 minutes I'd have a seizure. But it grew on me, and I did end up liking it.
Unfortunately, he didn't. But,
wow.
Well, the thing is, what do you mean it grew on you? Because, I mean, I stopped noticing it so much. It wasn't, it seems as they moved into more out of kind of the set. Like, early in the film, they're on a set, they're on a sound stage. And it's really obvious it's a set because it's so crystal clear. So you can see you're really aware of the makeup, you're really aware of the lighting and the set itself, the costume pieces. They all look like they're new, tried to made old, because you could actually see the quality of them. It's so realistic. It takes me out of the realism of the film. Then when you move on later on, sure, there's the green screen and a little bit difficult, but generally, once you moved along and it was a lot of CG, I wasn't thinking about the 48 frames per second anymore. But I wouldn't say that I loved it or it grew on me. I'd say I just stopped noticing it as much.
Well, I think it grew on me in the sense that I really just let myself get lost in the story, as long-winded as they made it. And it's amazing there's two parts after this. The first half hour to hour, I was sort of like, okay, we're kind of moving along here. Let's go. If no one's seen The Lord of the Rings, I can understand why they're sort of building up the character development the way they were doing it. But it got a little tired fast for me. They could have done it in 15 minutes and then been on with the action. And really, as soon as they started to finally get into that second hour to third hour, I thought it was really picking up. And obviously, Gollum was awesome again.
First off, are you done eating?
Not yet.
Well, feel free to eat while you're doing this.
I was thinking about awesome things I'll say.
One thing at a time for him, okay?
Apparently. Man is not a multitasker. Brett, 48 frames per second.
I think the problem that I have with 48 frames per second is it looks like a big fat load of video. Mm. It doesn't look like a film. It looks like a video. And I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with the screen, with the LED screens with too high a refresh rate. They make movies look like video. And to me, that's just not what I go to a movie theater to see. And I found that, you know, Chris, you say that as you went, it grew on you, and Mo, you said that it
less noticeable.
That it was less noticeable. To me, it was just hyper noticeable throughout. And I think the biggest problem with it is the fact that there's these really odd moments where, you know, a camera move will happen or something like that, and somebody will do an action, and it will occur way too fast for what you actually think that it's supposed to occur.
Oh, exactly. Like, at the beginning, there's an opening scene where Bilbo's getting his mail, and he rifles through his mail like The Flash. And I'm like, what just happened here? And I actually thought it was a glitch in the recording.
So did I.
I'm like, okay, that was weird. And then it happened again. All of a sudden he's walking, but he's the fastest hobbit in the world. And he's just walking to his door.
And he's putting away a book, and it's like, you know, and the book is away. Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty jarring at first.
Well, Brent, you described it to me during the filming when we were watching it, because we were sitting there.
Because that's not annoying.
We were bored. We needed something to do.
Yeah, exactly. And we were sitting there, and because as you can tell, Captain or Comic Canuck here is the guy who enjoyed it more than me and Brett.
From comictherapy.com.
Comictherapy.com, absolutely.
Shameless plug, sorry.
Comictherapy.com, did you say? Is that what you said?
Wow, comicbooktherapy.com. Don't worry, the money's coming to you guys.
No big deal. Brett said, described it to me as, it looks like a BBC TV show. I think that's a really good analysis. I mean, it looks like an episode of Red Dwarf.
Yeah, and if you're going to spend a gazillion dollars to make an episode of Red Dwarf, it should be funnier.
Yeah.
And go backwards.
Yeah. That's true. That's true. So, I mean, that's... But I think that's the problem with it. I'm not looking forward to watching more films in 48, you know, frames per second. I think I described it as 48 frames per shit to Brett. I just was not a fan. And I think... It's like the first time I watched a Blu-ray on a really high LCD TV with that high of refresh rate. I watched a film from today, and it was filmed in digital, and it wasn't... It looked fine. But then I watched a film that was filmed about 15 years ago. It was Mask of Zorro, whenever that came out, I think 1996, something like that. And because it was filmed on film, you could actually see the sets again. You could see, like, I was really, really aware. It looked like I was watching a stage play now with you know, a film's camera movement. And it really took me out of the film. I really heard it. So, I mean, I'm hoping this is... I don't know if people are accepting it or not. I know the movie's successful. I know it's out there in 24, it's out there in 48, and it's out there in 48, not 3D, both 48 3D and not. But I don't know. I from what I'm seeing on the internet, people aren't into it. As far as the success of the film, though, if people are accepting it, then you'll see it from everybody. Certainly, James Cameron. Is it the future? Probably eventually, but it just doesn't look good enough yet. They gotta perfect the technique. You can't just do something. But you know what? It was the right move to try.
Here's my question, though. You guys obviously know more about the technical side of it than I do. Was this the first time it was done in any movie in 48 frames?
Yes.
Okay, so here's how I look at it then. Yeah, as jarring as it was, thankfully the sort of speed moments didn't happen. They happened, I'd say, what, 10 to 15 times for the whole movie where you really noticed it?
Probably.
We're essentially seeing a pioneering moment in movie making. 10 years from now, it won't even be an issue, I think.
Well, I think we can go back to the other... I think you can go back to 24 frames. I think you can lose yourself in the fantasy of the film. And I think that's good. So I think you just stay with that. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's complained about how bad Lord of the Rings looked. It looked fantastic. Right? So there's no reason to go for this. But again, it's worth it to try to see if people will like it. There's nothing wrong with that. To see if it's accepted and see if it works. You try something, but it doesn't mean you have to be married to it just because it's a new thing if it tries and it doesn't work as well. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can try a new wheel, but you don't have to reinvent it.
Now, let me ask you guys this. We all know the story of The Hobbit. And in watching that film, I got to the end, and thankfully, for a difference from the beginning, I got to the end and thought, man, I can't wait to see the second one. Because the momentum and the pace picked up immensely, even in that last hour. And sure, they left a little hanging, but it was... I thought it was a really... good place to sort of finish on for the first one. Now, I think they could have cut the movie by 25 minutes, but, you know, that's not a Peter Jackson thing. It has to be 3 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Look at you know, King Kong was, you know, he took an 80-minute original movie and he turned it into a 3-hour epic. That said, I think it was good the whole way through. Even the characterization, the slow parts at the beginning, I enjoyed. This one, there's just points where it just dragged to the point where I couldn't enjoy it. Mm. And that's the thing, is you talk about the first 20... Actually, you said the first half hour when they're, you know, it's slow. Do you realize I looked at my clock and we were exactly 52 minutes in when before they got out of the Hobbit's house, before they got out of Bilbo's house? 52 minutes.
Wow, maybe it was 52 minutes.
It was. It was 52 minutes before they got out of Bilbo's house. And if you compare that to Lord of the Rings, it's about 15, 20 minutes for them to get out of the Shire. Which is the right pace. And more happens in The Lord of the Rings in the beginning, in that book that they condensed, than happened in this. This should have been a 10-minute scene.
Right.
And it's just them stretching it. And then after, once they got out of there and they start walking along, then you get this long thing about Thorin, what's his oak wooden shield or whatever else last name. Thorin, the king, and I have
trouble with
his... Son of Thrain, the you know, hobbit prince or king or whatever the hell he is.
Dwarf,
whatever.
You saw the movie, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'm starting to get worked up here, so I'm losing my train because I'm starting to get mad. You get into this next thing where
you can blame me. It's okay.
Well, I do. You're an asshole, but word on the street on this one. Remember, you've done good so far. This end has the worst mouth ever, guys.
Word on the street is this Canadian actually swears his ass off.
There you go. But anyways, they go into this long thing where they explain this subplot that they've created for the film with this orc and his cutting off his dad's head and all this. And that's like another 20, 30 minutes of the guy just sitting there talking. And I got what he said. Okay. The orc cut off his dad's head, and they want revenge.
They should have made it look.
And then he cut off his hand, and then we want revenge. They could have told that in 5 minutes. And again, they went on for about 20 minutes, and I got the point. I'm just going, I got it. Move on. We're now at 80 minutes into this movie, and it doesn't pick up until a little more than 80 minutes into the film when finally they meet the mountain orcs. And from there, the film picks up a lot. And so I kind of go, I would give like the first hour, like 3/4 of a star. Like, so boring. And then the second one, like 2.5, 2.75. And then like 4 stars to the final hour, because it does pick up a lot, gets a lot better. So the overall film, though, is like a 2.5-star film, because it's, you know, it's equal parts. Like, you can't just judge it on the last hour, even though I like that, and I agree. I love the stuff of Gollum. But, like, it just took so damn long. They're filling in so much material. And there's another scene later on where they have, Saruman and, what's her name?
Galadriel.
And they created this for the film, too. And it's just so boring, and it's telepathic talking, and it's not in the book, and... It's just, A, it's padding stuff, and B, it's boring, and they wrote it themselves, and they're not sticking to the story, and it's like, you didn't need to go in there and tie these things together, because you just needed to follow what Tolkien did, because he actually did that already.
Yeah.
You know? He didn't feel the need to... Sometimes it's okay to have a character introduced in another movie and have a surprise. Like, I'm really, this was... The longest. This is two things. Number one, the longest on-ring sentence in history, and number two, what this is Lord of the Rings was Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, as presented by Peter Jackson. What this film is Lord of the Rings director Peter Jackson's The Hobbit. It's more his material, more his feel and stuff than it is Tolkien's, and I think that's part of my problem.
Well, sorry, Brett, where are you gonna go?
No, Brett doesn't say a damn thing. He eats. He's like, I'm eating.
Well, the thing that I have an issue with is you take these classic books, like you made a good point, Mo, about Tolkien's Lord of the Rings, you know, and I think he'd turn over in his grave. He'd be like, what? What is this? They're, you know.
Why are you making 3 movies out of...
Yeah, it's stick to the story. Stick to the storyteller. Who wrote it best. There's a reason why it's a classic. Not because you came along and you had a vision because you're a director. And don't get me wrong, he did a great job on Lord of the Rings, and I loved the trilogy. And I gave this movie a 7 out of 10 on a whole, taking everything into account. I did, really. I'm crazy that way. Anyhow, back to my point. Stay true to the book. And you know what? If the book is only going to give you, in terms of movie making, a movie and a half or just 2 movies, then just do 2 movies. Do 2 hour movies, or do 3 90 minute movies, and people would still be just as happy. They'd still dress up and come out to the theater.
Or just, you know what, I think they could have done this. I really believe they could have told this story, because Hobbit's not that long a story. It's not that big.
No,
you could have told it in 1 3-hour story, you know. If they're able to tell the you know, the first Harry Potter film in one movie, and it's actually a bigger book than The Hobbit, then you're able to do this. Like, that's my thing. It shouldn't have been 3 parts. It's 3 parts because they made $1 billion per movie, and they're going to make $1 billion from this one. And that's why it's done. Plus, Peter Jackson, like I say, he's taken over. And he did a great job of Lord of the Rings, and he didn't change too much. They didn't add a lot of extra scenes, and they didn't add... They cut some stuff, but you had to cut some stuff, you know, because otherwise it would have been 47 films.
Well, again, I mean, you look at the fact that you have 3 large books that got turned into 3 long movies. And then you take 1 short book that got turned into 3 long movies.
Yeah.
There's a big discrepancy there. And
and aren't they getting a lot of their next material from the backup pages, almost, that Tolkien wrote?
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
So I caught you both while you're eating. So.
Yeah, of course.
Well, dead air for a second.
Yeah.
Aren't you going to eat for Christmas?
I've eaten already. I'm a pig.
You finished?
I hoovered it, man.
Holy crap.
I'm talking about food. Anyhow.
Okay.
I'm never coming on this show again, by the way.
Well, no, that was already guaranteed.
So,
we made that decision before we even started.
Awesome. Just deleted both of you from my Twitter feed. Okay.
That's how you get back.
Yeah, take that. To people you just want to follow her. Jerks.
Oh, no. I'll never get by. I think the thing is for me is that I didn't feel like the movie was paced particularly well at all. Even in its best moments. I really enjoyed the Gollum scene, yes. Mm. But I feel, but the fact that it was done from start to finish as one full chunk, I would by like halfway through I was just like, what is everybody else doing?
Yeah.
I'd really like to come I want to see the rest of this. No, not right now.
Yeah.
I want to go and see, and then because by the time we were done with Gollum, it was just like we got back to the rest of the group, and I was like, "Oh,
well." You look back at Star Wars films, and one thing that Lucas always did was he had his climax happening on three fronts simultaneously, right? So it's the battle on the Death Star with Luke and Darth Vader and the Emperor, and it's the battle on Endor, and it's the battle in space to destroy the Death Star. All three are happening simultaneously. He's cutting back and forth, and the action keeps moving. This could have used that. I'll agree with that.
Absolutely.
It could have used some of that kind of, just to pick up the pace.
See, that's why, for me...
But I did think it was a fantastic scene. And it stuck very closely to the book.
Yeah, it absolutely did. And I don't deny that. But for me, like, that's one of the reasons why I can't justifiably give the movie any more than 2 stars. It's just because of the fact that every scene is just way too long. Every scene just feels long.
Well, they feel like actual chapters.
Yeah. And I think, and given the fact that like, you know, we'll talk about the fact that should you compare The Hobbit to The Lord of the Rings? And the truth of the matter is that I'm saying absolutely yes. If I were to say that The Hobbit by itself, well, maybe it's a 2.5-star movie. I still don't think it's a very good movie because of the problems that I have with it. But when you compare it to The Lord of the Rings, then it's an infinitely worse movie. Because you know, The Lord of the Rings doesn't have these same problems.
No, I mean, I give the first Lord of the Rings 5 stars. And second and third parts, I give them both 4.5 stars. And this does have to be compared to those. And is this a film that's probably 3 stars by itself? Yeah, and I'm giving it 2.5, same thing. Taking off a little bit because I have to compare it to this. And of course you compare it. And one of the reasons I have to compare it to this is the characters. They really changed a lot of these dwarves. I mean, they made this Thorin character. He's Aragorn. Like, he's... Yeah. Every single, his background, his mannerisms, his look, everything is changed to be this noble prince, fallen prince, you know, who needs to regain his crown.
And you commented about how these were the best looking dwarves you'd ever seen.
Oh man, I never seen such a handsome group of dwarves in my life. Like, come on, it's just a little bit the same thing. They made somebody Legolas. We didn't really see it that much, but trust me, there's the one character who's like a Legolas, a bow and archer type character. Like, he's taken these other characters and he's just, you know, feels lazy, is what it feels like to me.
Now, I don't know if you guys will agree with me. You might agree. Out of that entire movie, the Gollum scene, because, yeah, it was a little long, and I would have liked to see some cuts in there. Mm-hmm. I agree with you there, Brett. But it was the most emotionally moving scene. Like, you really felt, like, watching him, and, like, just sitting there thinking, this is incredible. Like, the CG, everything, and just... It was just, I just pulled.
That feels like as fully developed a character as anything else you're going to watch. That does not feel like at all like a CG character.
No, it was.
It's amazing. It wasn't Lord of the Rings 2, and you have that connection to it, which makes it even easier.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing is that it was by far the best scene in the movie, in my opinion. And it lacked something that some of the rest of the movie had. It lacked melodrama. A lot of the rest of the movie, like, you have these characters who are just, like, and the way it's shot, it's just like these guys, like, oh, you know,
oh, well, that's, their swords. Let's talk about that, Brett.
Stuff like that.
The first time that they had a scene, it happened 3 times, where somebody, they go into slow motion, and somebody yells, ah! I was like, oh, yeah. The second time, I started laughing at you. I was like elbowing you because they did it again. He's like, no. And then they did it a third time. I busted a gut. Like, of the third time, I'm laughing. I'm just literally laughing out loud. Like, nothing in this film made me laugh as much as it. I just went, con! Like, it's the 3 times you slow it down and have a guy yell in the melodramatic, something bad's happening and we need to enhance it moment. That's shitty filmmaking. I'm sorry. That's lazy. It's not good. And that's, you know, Peter Jackson has just fallen back into traps of what a filmmaker should be instead of being inventive in actual filmmaking like he once was.
Yeah, well, because that's the funny thing is that Peter Jackson was never this filmmaker to begin with.
No.
Like, all of his earlier movies were radically different. And then it's just like suddenly it hit King Kong and things changed. But then he did The Lord of the Rings and you were like, well, they're really long. But the source material for
they did King Kong after Lord of the Rings. But
oh, okay. So then afterwards,
yeah.
So my timeline is confused. So,
but it actually makes even more sense that way, though.
Yeah. So suddenly,
because there is kind of those melodramatic moments in King Kong that are just a little bit trying too hard. But, and in this one, it comes across like he's trying too damn hard too often.
Because it's different when you have a guy with a sword who is at the height of battle, and to slow mo it and make it all lame and idiotic. Then suddenly you have this like
as I was going to say, one, I hated King Kong. Two, that's just me. No, I'm sorry, okay. I hated it.
That's fine.
That's fine. I can understand.
And I like a lot of movies. 90%
of the population hated King Kong.
King Kong is right up there with Ishtar. Anyway, back to The Hobbit. Did you guys, I'm sure you picked it up, the Disney after school, let's all get together and help out scene when the dwarves cleaned his fucking house for like half an hour and Gandalf's sort of like ha 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 and he's smiling and winking.
That's the comic Canuck I know.
That's true.
I'm sitting there going, where am I? Am I like, what? Is this a kid's special?
That's the thing. That's in the book. That exact song, that's what Bilbo Baggins hates, is in the book.
I know.
I started reading the book after we finished.
I'm with you. I'm with you. But that doesn't mean it bothered me.
But there was a lot of singing in Lord of the Rings that they didn't put in the movie. Why? Because it sucks. Right?
Yeah.
I thought for a minute that we were going to get a musical. I mean,
you know what? As a book, it's a classic book. Like, I'm not going to... but in the movie, it just didn't... It just... I'm like, come on.
And it's like, just one more thing. Yeah, move it along. Move it along. And again, but if that's the tone of the whole movie, if it is like a kid's movie, because it's a kid's book, it's a youth book, right?
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings is a book for adults, you know, late teens and up. And The Hobbit is for young teens and probably 10 to 14. And adults can enjoy it too because it's a classic, but it's for a younger age. So if it's going to be in that tone the whole time, I'd have no problem with it. But when you tie it in later on into all the tone from Lord of the Rings, the darker stuff, then it doesn't fit. But that's the thing. I mean, that's the one thing I hate about Lord of the Rings is they took Gimli, my favorite character from the book, him and Sam were my two favorite characters. And Sam retained his dignity. But they turned Gimli into a comedy character. They took away all his dignity and nobility. And they did that because they needed to add in a comedy character. What?
No.
They needed a Jar Jar.
They needed a Jar Jar, yeah.
Ugh. This vision of, you can't take away my dignity.
Wow. Did that.
But it's true that
fuck you.
Whatever. I'm just a guest. Fuck you guys.
But the point is that
it's quality.
It's quality. But the point is they took away his dignity. So I felt like they turned Lord of the Rings into a little bit too much of the Hobbit. That's my only complaint about Lord of the Rings. And that they turned the Hobbit now into too much of the Lord of the Rings. So I don't know.
They tried to do both.
Yeah, they did.
And the Hobbit. They tried to do Hobbit and Lord of the Rings. It was like a bad mashup.
Yeah. Well,
I still stand by my 7 out of 10.
The podcast from Lombox Graveyard that I put up last night is him and former editor-in-chief Chris Ulm. It's called The View 52, and they're reviewing some of the trade paperbacks. And they talk about, for instance, Frankenstein, Agent of Shade. And he's like, this is all the stuff I love in a book. And I think he called it an everything sandwich, where it's like, you get a sandwich and you're like, oh, I love pickles. I'll put pickles on there. I love mushrooms. I'll put mushrooms on there. I love marshmallows. I'll put marshmallows on there. And it's all the things you love, but when you put them together, it doesn't necessarily work. That applies to this film, to me. So,
interesting.
Yeah, interesting concept. So,
really, before we go, the only thing that, now, we know that we're going to have to watch
I'm definitely watching them. I did enjoy the last hour. And, I mean, I like the stuff with the Goblin King, all of it, until they're on the bridge, and he's like, what are you going to do? How are you going to run away? And he just cuts him in the stomach, and he goes, that'll do it.
The dialogue.
No Tolkien character would ever say that. It's so out of place, and it's not funny, and it's so Peter Jackson putting his little pissing all over the film to leave his mark like a dog.
Yeah.
Like, it's...
that's one way to look at it.
I hated that. But that said, if they had cut that movie then, it would have been a lot better for me. Then they go on for another, what, 20, 30 minutes outside and another fight scene and more orcs. And I'm like, just, it's like, that was a perfect time to wrap it up. Wrap it up.
I do have two things I loved about
it. You know, there's going to be a longer director's cut on DVD that's coming out, like 30 minutes longer for this, like you did with Lord of the Rings. How brutal is that going to be?
And there are two things I loved about the beginning of the movie, though. As much as I just cut it all up, Man of Steel preview and Star Trek preview. Love them.
Not into the Man of Steel preview, but the Star Trek, I think, looks fantastic. Man of Steel, to me, doesn't work for me. Again, it looking to me too much effort to try and be melodramatic and not actually telling me anything about the damn story, who's the villain, anything to let me know anything about it. So,
but that's the beauty of a trailer.
No, and this
sorry,
is,
I jumped.
No, but you say that's the beauty of a trailer, but that's a, trailers used to, go back 25, 30 years and look how trailers worked and look how they made you excited for the film and you came out knowing what it was but without all the secrets. Now you just know there's going to be a lot of really big scenes. This will be a big scene, and there'll be another big scene later, and that's all you know. And that doesn't make me excited anymore. I think trailers have gone. The art of trailer making has gone to shit.
Maybe
so I don't like Lord of the. I didn't like this, but the Star Trek, the Man of Steel, no, but Star Trek I thought looked awesome.
Right.
And that first Star Trek movie that I was expecting to hate, I turned out to love. So.
And this is why podcasts hate guests, because they take them off topic right at the end.
And you're very good at taking people off topic.
You've this is the most
focused. Fuck you very much.
This is the most focused we've ever seen you. Now tonight you'll be on for the Secret Santa Exchange story on We Talk Comics, and then you'll be on for our Geek Summit the following week, so you'll be around a lot. And on those, you won't swear so much, but you will still stay focused.
There will be no swearing.
All right.
I'll believe that when I
see the only one who hasn't dropped an F-bomb on this one, so we should leave now before I do.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, guys.
Not a problem. This was fun. And your chance to plug. You get your real chance to plug here.
All right. I was a bit of a jackass earlier, but my moniker is Comic Canuck, and I'm on a website. I own a website called comicbooktherapy.com with an international cast of characters from the UK and the United States. Check it out. We're a fun little site, and we love these guys.
And your
we
Twitter? Talk.
And my Twitter is @comic_Canuck.
Excellent. Mo at We Talk Podcasts. Brett_WeTalkFatGuss_ on mine too. Mo_ no E in my name. Two T's on Brett's name.